philosophy. Good. One of the most important principles that we have from the Ramban in how to understand and learn Sefer Bereishis is the principle of Maisa Ovar Siman Abonim. All that we have inside Sefer Bereishis is a Siman, Siman Abonim, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. It's a guidebook for all of the Torah. And that's how we understand it. Meaning like, Kihem Chayenu, V'Orech Yomenu. This is our Chayenu, the way we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to build our character profile, how we're supposed to develop ourselves in what, in Avodas HaKodesh. Maisa Ovar Siman Abonim is a cardinal principle. Meaning like this. A person is supposed to learn from Noach how to overcome temptations and enticements of the generation environment around him. Avraham Avinu, Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll see, was an original thinker. A person has to think things out himself. Avraham Avinu will see next week, and no one showing him anything. And we can go on in each personality. Yosef was able to overcome temptations of a woman, and of course, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Shemos, we see, was the ultimate profile of a man in Klal Yisrael. And he was chosen, says the Alter from Kelm, for one reason, because he cared so much. He walked the streets of Cairo and he cared about everybody. And therefore we have Maisa Ovar Siman Abonim becomes the guiding rule in all these parashas. And Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't just take these as legends and stories which we learn and hear about in kindergarten and we stay with that. And maybe therefore we can understand and apply the beautiful moshul of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He once gave a moshul of what does it mean to mature in Avodas HaKodesh. And he explained that when a child comes to the age of 3 years old, so the parents buy the child a little dinky pair of tzitzis. It's a beautiful moshul. And then when he gets older, they change 7 or 8. He moves on to a bigger pair of tzitzis. He goes to Bar Mitzvah, a bigger pair of tzitzis. And when he goes on to the chuppah, the vadai, he has a man's pair of tzitzis. Said Rabbi Yaakov, what would be the biggest abuse of a mitzvah or a disgrace? If a chosen goes under the krupa wearing the same dinky pair of tzitzis, he grew up. He should grow up with his tzitzis. Meaning a person has to grow up with his davening, a person has to grow up with his brachas in every aspect. And I think this is very important as well and significant when it comes to all these stories in Bereishis. Yes, Yosef did have a coat of many colors, but he's more than that. Yosef was the Amud of Tzias. Avraham Avinu certainly had a house with four doors. Yes. But he was the Amud of Chesed, and we have to grow up with these concepts. And that's really the fundamental principle. One has to develop and take out a profile from these parashas, not just read them through or tell a nice vote at the Shabbos table, but there must be something more practical. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. What do we mean by the Torah? Rabbi Yerucham has a maimer and says the Torah refers to Matan Torah, as we know by Yisro, Parashas Yisro. The Derech Eretz, meaning Sefer Bereishis, and all these stories and all these personalities are all Siman Labonim. They're all signs of Hashkofa before a person accepts and understands Parshas Yisro, Parshas Mishpatim, and all the other details of the Korbanos and Sefer Vayikra. You must have the Derech Eretz first of all. And that's the purpose and significance of Maisa Ovar Siman Labonim. If that's the case, Rabbi, let's go back again to Parshas Noach and have a look. How on earth do we look at Parshas Noach? There is a beautiful sefer written by Hagon Rav Moshe Meiselman, Moshe Shiva of Toras Moshe. He should be well, I heard he wasn't so well. But he wrote a sefer called Torah, Chazal, and Science. And in it, there are several chapters dealing with the Mabul, with the flood. And he brings the scientific inquiries, which are made to actually maybe two main zoos, the Zurich Zoo and the Frankfurt Zoo. And they made inquiries. I think there's a report there by someone called, by a member, Robert Moore, who goes into the impossibility of the table. Impossible. How on earth Noah managed to collect all the animals together? How was it possible? How do you distinguish between a male and a female with many animals? How was he able to do it? And then science, they all have tremendous problems. How can you put a giraffe and put a stall in for his food? And certain animals have large antlers. How can they reach their food? And certain animals need certain living conditions. For example, some need water to live in, some need trees, the natural environment. And then you come to the whole issue of the food. Certain animals only need fruit, certain animals need only grain, and different problems which are almost insurmountable. And according to the laws of science, and these two zoos brought out their report, it was an impossible feat. And it did seem impossible. It seems impossible. He brings even the strange, the beautiful point, and he works out the zoos, both zoos, came to the conclusion that the number of animals which Noach must have collected and the amount of attention which they needed, you needed 151,000, I think, 300 attendants to look after all these animals. And Noach only had 8. And according to their reckoning, they say that each animal over the year must have received 44 seconds of attention, because all the animals, it's impossible to do it, impossible. So what do we look at? How do we look at the scientific aspect of it, Chassidus Shalom, or the Mabul? What are we supposed to take out of Kashrus Noach? How do we look at it in our times? Maisa of a Siman Rabbonim. I'm thinking in particular, Rabbi Yisai, meaning in these times of COVID, of a pandemic, and really we must look at it, I think, with a very strong sense of what's happening today in the world, and look at Parshas Noach. And I'd like to make a suggestion. It's homespun, it's my own ideas, but perhaps we can say as follows, that there is something like a Torah blueprint from Parshas Noach for COVID-19. I'd like to give you 3 ideas, which I hope will prompt thought. Ten lechachom yechkam oid. Give you ideas to think about, which I thought about during the week, and like everybody is musing and thinking with great concern and great care. We've lost such great people, and people are so sick, and there's such a tragedy which is going on, such turmoil in the world. Surely we must look at Parshas Noach with more relevance to what's happening today. And I'd like to suggest my own thoughts, my own ideas, that there is a certain blueprint for COVID which we find inside Parshas Noach. My first suggestion is as follows. We know, Chazal learned out, that even though Adam HaRishon was sent out of Gan Eden, the conditions of life and the standard of living in the time of the Mabul was almost, we would say, Gan Eden. It was absolutely perfect. A child was born on the same day, he would get up and walk around and he would be able to talk. His strength was phenomenal strength. He could uproot trees, a person could uproot trees. And there was no fear of animals, of lions, like a flea, Chazal say, the Medrash Rabbah brings out. The koichos were phenomenal of what they could do. When a person got old, he never lost any of his koichos. Until old age, he was very, very strong. Never lost, no child, say Chazal, ever died in the lifetime of a parent. Never, ever. The child always lived longer. And people lived for hundreds of years. But the conditions of life were phenomenal. Chazal bring out, the Medrash brings out, that the person would plow his field once every 40 years, and he had enough prosperity from once in 40 years. He didn't have to plow every single year. Unbelievable conditions. We would say it's Gan Eden. Unbelievable conditions that they had. They say, Chazal say that the seasons, Rashi brings it down in the parasha, only began after the Mabul, meaning there was no bitter cold, and there's no boiling hot, there's no chamsin. The weather was continually aviv. And therefore, the conditions of the Mabul, before the Mabul, were perfect. Perfect living conditions. And therefore, the question we must come to is, which way did they go? Did they take the way of being overwhelmingly appreciative? Or unfortunately, as we know, they took the other part. And it was a tragedy. And they took all that they could, and they ran with it, but they had no recognition of where it came from. And that was a great tragedy. The tragedy of the Dor HaMabul was that they were given so much, and yet they abused so much. I always think, whenever we come to Parshas Bereishis, which we read last week, in my eyes, and it's one of the most tragic parshas you can ever read in all of the Torah. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu created all the world in 6 days, and everything was toyed. Everything was so perfect. The animals, the minerals, everything was given. And then at the end of creation, before Shabbos, the Pasuk says, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hineh tov ma'od." Hashem gave his own compliments. Everything was perfect. It was tov ma'od in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You turn to the end of the parasha, you come across these awful words. Vayar Hashem, ki rabba roh fa'odom roh, v'chod yetzev mafshot yilu rak ram nimayim. Vayinochem Hashem, v'yisatzev, emcheh fa'odom. How can that be? What a tragedy. What an enormous collapse of mankind. He didn't live up to his expectations. He was given so much, and he fell, and he collapsed. And we know in Chazal that the Loshen Chomos, there's a machlekes in the Rishonim what Chomos means. Yesh Omin, that Chomos means Gezel. It was tremendous theft. People stole and no one was careful about other people's property. That's one aspect of Chomos. Oh, but there's another man, the Omer, which says Gezel was Avodah Zorah, Shvichas Domin, and Gil Arayas. Avodah Zorah was impossible. They they Mamash went right off. They were Doichai Kodesh Baruch Hu completely. They chose their own gods and made them up as they went along. Shvichas Domim, Chazal say that Stoim was no exception whatsoever. Stoim was symptomatic of all the Zohar Hamavra. Stoim, what happened in Stoim, the murderer and the oppression, the persecution against people, was already by the time of the Mavra. Gilo Arayas, and after Yodim Edzer, that person had more, Rashi brings down, he had at least two wives. One wife was for giving birth, and the other wife was for something else, another wife. And people switched wives and made marriage contracts with animals. It was completely depraved. Completely depraved. And they were completely corrupt. And that's what happened. And the Mabul came about because of the circumstances. And that's what we learned for the conditions of the Mabul. Now, Loya Leinu, I don't want to be a prophet of doom. That's not my position here. But look again. Look again at those conditions. And think about what we have today. Perhaps we can say, in the history of the universe, we've never had it so good. Never ever has it been so good in our time. The electronic age, what has it done for us? You can contact, you can take a look at the seabed, and 2 seconds later, look at the stars. You have phenomenal access to absolutely everywhere because of the electronic age. Yadua, Google Earth, and all the things which we spoke about last week, for example. Food, you go into a supermarket, it's endless choice of what you want to take. Travel, before the COVID came along, the person could travel one end of the world to the other end of the world. Communication is incredible. Look what we're living in. We've never had it so good in the history of the universe. Never, ever. The comforts, the convenience, sports and entertainment. It's phenomenal what man is given in these times. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't want to be a doomsday man, but look carefully. Has man slipped and into the awful nature of has man slipped? Has he gone down, having been given so much? Is there a great comparison that we can make between the Dor HaMabul, Lo Aleinu, and our times? And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not maybe, he's giving us a lesson. The whole world is affected by this COVID. It's an incredible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, enough, enough. Maybe, I don't know, but the tragedies which have occurred are phenomenal. The whole world is put under ransom here. Communications, economies, people have died. Are we being sent a lesson here, Rabbi Yisai, that we went too far? We've gone too far. There is, as you know, we mentioned last week, the beautiful site, which is called Google Earth. And Google Earth, we mentioned last week on the computer, has an incredible tool. Because in seconds, you can shrink the whole world and look anywhere in the world. And we mentioned last week that one of the features of Google Earth is that you're only shown what? You're shown what there is. You can see the giant redwoods. You can see the tundra. You can see an address in New York. What there is. The Google Earth doesn't tell you anything who. Doesn't tell you who's behind the creation. Who's there. And it's very strange. We mentioned last week, because in a consumer society, the most important question is who. Who wrote that book? Who painted that painting? Where did you get that dress? Where? Who, what kind of car is it? The address behind it is so important in the materialistic world. What type of clothes are you wearing? Who? The origins. And yet when it comes to nature, we don't look at the who. It's missing. And therefore we didn't see Hashem behind everything in the world. And that's the problem of Koichi Boitzim Yodi. I created everything. I just this morning, my wife showed me something on a Shiva world, something which is phenomenal, that Governor Cuomo turned around and said that the reason why the pandemic has gone down in New York, he said it literally, these words, it's not God, it's not fate, it's we did it all. We brought down. That's phenomenal in heresy. It's not God. He said, it's not God, it's we who did it. We brought down the disease here in New York. Incredible thing to say. And you see it in our times. Avodah Zorah, yeah, there is Avodah Zorah. Who's the biggest Avodah Zorah maybe in our times? Is oneself. I did everything. And that's what we see in our times. I'm suggesting, and also the money, the dollar, has become such an idol, such an incredible worship that people worship it. Shvichas Domim, you can say there is Shvichas Domim, like by the Mabul, in the media. The media has a phenomenal ability. By sending out a message, you can destroy a man's reputation in a second, by a Twitter or something. It's an incredible Shvichas Domim. What a person to do with Rosh and Hora, and kill a person, literally kill a person, by the nature of the media. Yira Rayas Yadua. I don't have to go into details about it. In all the major cities, what has happened, the depravity which is taken out. I know a lot of it because my sister in London, Mrs. Judith Nemeth, she should be well, that works a great deal in the government, in the Department of Education. And she told me that one of the greatest problems they're facing in England now is that the government insists on standards of indecency. They insist on it. A child must know about homosexuality, single sex. They must know that. And they must practice it. That's an incredible depravity which has come out of the world. And therefore, maybe I'm suggesting we can say, are we being told something with finger on the pulse that it's similar to the Mabel? Is this a Torah blueprint, Lo Aleinu, for COVID? Is this what we're seeing here? That materialism has gone way out of control. It's Yadua. The greatest problem when it comes to materialism is this. The greatest problem is not that materialism is wrong, but it has to be maneuvered and manipulated and channeled into lines of Kedusha. Materialism by itself is hopeless. It's a shell that you have to take out of it, the Kedusha, and look for the Pnimius inside. And that's what they failed in the Dar HaMadon. They were given so much, but they never saw the who behind it. They never saw Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's probably the problem in our times. The materialism is fine, but it must be channeled. You must look inside it. In a few weeks' time, the Mitzvah Hashem will be celebrating Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? The nature of Hanukkah is all Yovan, and everything about Yovan was beauty. Everything, beauty of the body, beauty of sculpture, beauty of the sport, everything, beauty of architecture. But there was no pnimius. There was nothing inside. It's purely on the outside. Yaf Elokim LeYefet means that Greek culture is everything on the outside, but there's nothing inside. And always every year, I always am amazed at this. Whenever we come to Hanukkah, you'll see we are always talking about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was a fei toya v'fei mara. He was an extremely good-looking person. He looked very, very good. Ken Avod, the Zohar brings out in Pashas Pinchas. Miyayim sha'ola al daitai. From the day Yosef began to talk and think, Ad Yom Moiso, Le Poska Mimenu Ruach HaKodesh. He had tremendous beauty on the outside, but inside he was just as beautiful. He was Kodesh Kodoshim inside. If you look carefully, the Arizal brings down, all the Nisyonis of Yosef were all surrounding the topic of beauty. He himself was exceptionally good looking. He looked after his hair. He came from a mother who was very good looking. Nisoyan Pashtus with Eshes Potiphar was the same Nisoyan. I often think to myself, all the women in Nisoyan, how they threw their bracelets on him. He had a tremendous Nisoyan of Yofi. Even the cows that came out of the water were Yofi. Everything was Yofi by himself. But Bifinim, he was Kulei Kodesh. And that's where materialism must be channeled. And that's the greatness. And that's the Nisoyan which the Dar HaMabul failed in. And that's where we have to try and pick up. I'm suggesting as a first point, as a blueprint from Parashas Noach, we must look to see the pnimius behind it. The beautiful white tablecloth on your table for Shabbos or the beautiful canopies are beautiful and fine, but it's not the Ikka. The Ikka is what's said at the table, what's mentioned at the table, what his thoughts go through the candlesticks on Shabbos. A smorgasbord is beautiful, but the brocha is the Ikka. Then behind the materialism must pick up the ruchnius inside. And that, Lanias Daiti, I like to suggest, is a blueprint from Parshas Noach, from the Mabul. We see quite clearly that materialism is a tremendous trap. They fell in the trap, and they fell in Avodah Zor, Gilal Rosh, Lichas Domim, and Gezom. I wonder if maybe in our times it's the same trap which we might be falling into, where materialism has gone right out of control, and it's all Kochi V'Otzim Yodi, and we see only what we did, what we have done, and we must look deeper, who's behind it all? Where is Hashem? Where is the Kedusha behind it all? We know by the problems of the Mabul that the Pasuk says, Ki hishchis kol basar et darkei el haaretz. And Rashi brings out that even those who are tzaddikim suffered, because when you have immorality, the whole world goes into pieces. If you want to have a look, there's a beautiful maimer of the Beis HaLevi and Parshas Noach, and he says that everything was corrupt behind it. And therefore, that's the reason why in our generation we see great tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim who may have died and suffered from the corona. Because at times when it gets out of control, even tzaddikim are taken from it. And great people who have no connection whatsoever to these aveiros, but it affects everybody. And that's the tragedy. And that's what happened in the Mabul. No one was spared. And near there in our times as well, there's no limitation. Great tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, people who have done so much for Klal Yisrael, are still suffering from the corona. It means because of the problems, perhaps, of the Mabul. And that's, I'd like to suggest, as the first blueprint that we can take out of the parasha, the first one. The second point, which maybe we can take out of the parasha, is the theme of bidud, of quarantine. Noah was put into quarantine for a whole year. He was forced into quarantine. He didn't have a choice. He was told to go in and hide himself for a whole year with his family. He couldn't come out. And there was social distancing, literally social distancing. There was no one else but him and his family in there. It was enforced on him. I was thinking, when I first thought of these points, maybe it's relevant to our times, I thought of the Pasuk, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which we used to talk about very much if you were here in Israel during the Gulf War. And this Pasuk was told as the plan and the strategy to use when it comes to when we used to go into the closed rooms, when the missiles came over from Iraq. This pasuk, Perek Kof Vav and Pasuk Kof in Yeshaya. Lech ami, boy b'chaderecha. Go, my people. Go into your rooms. Skor delosecha. Close your doors ba'adecha. Close the doors behind you. Chavi, hide yourself. Kimat rega. Not for long, a second. Ad yava azam. Until the anger passes. What are we learning from this? To hide away, to go into quarantine at such a time. I thought at first, on first thought, maybe that's relevant to us now. But then I thought, maybe this is not exactly that. Because the Pasuk is talking, if you look at the Mephoshim there, the Medak, it's talking about Gog and Magog and Klal Yisrael. But these problems of quarantine are the whole world. It's not just by Klal Yisrael, Lech Ami. Everyone is under the circumstances of quarantine. Bidud is all over the world. So it's more than just Klal Yisrael. What is there in this theme of Bidud and quarantine that maybe can be a blueprint for our times of Maisa of a Simon of Onim? I'd like to make a suggestion like this. A thought which everybody thinks about these things. I've been thinking about it the whole week, looking at Parshas Noach and the relevance of our times. And maybe there's a certain Simon of Onim which we should take out of it. There is a Maimah of Rebbe Yeruchim, the Chasarik Lebrochim, in the Aschach Musa, and he describes, he asks the following question. If Noach was a tzaddik tomim, the Doiroiso, if he was as great as they say he was, why is it that he had to become a zookeeper for 24/7? Was there no other way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have saved him? Was there no other method? Surely, Noach was such a great tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have found a mountaintop, put him up there with a deck chair, and give him some Coca-Cola and say, why did he have to be a zookeeper? And it was the most impossible year they had. There's a medrash which is brought out in Chazal that Eliezer, the Eved Avraham, met Shem, the son of Noach. And he asked him, it's in a medrash, what was it like in the table? And Shem said it was impossible. There was no sleep, there was no rest. There was phenomenal attention which was made for all the animals. They couldn't rest. It was the smell that had been there as well, must have been bugs. It was an incredible life, incredible year. Worse than solitary confinement because they had a job day and night to look after the animals. The work was phenomenal. Rebbe Yeruchim asked the question, but why? If he was a tzaddik tomim, was there no other way he could be saved? And Rebbe Yeruchim answers with a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the beautiful Gemara. The Gemara describes a wedding which was made by Rabbi Gamliel, who was the son of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. And Rabbi Gamliel invited all the Tanoim of the time, and sitting at one table was Rebbe Eleza, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tzadok, who were sitting at the table. Rabbi Gamliel walked around with a bottle of wine, the host, and came over to the table where the Tanoim was sitting. And he took out a bottle and was about to pour a glass of wine, as the host does at a wedding for Rabbi Eleza. Rabbi Eleza says, no, 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 I can't have the Nazi serve me. No way, please, please, it's a bizayon for the Nazi to serve me. So then Rabbi Gamliel went over to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua put his cup out. And Rabbi Eleza turned around and basically said, Tidbayesh, Yeshua, how can you let the Nazi serve you? How can you, no derech eretz for the Nazi can serve you? And Rabbi Yeshua turned around, it's there in the Gemara, and he turned around and he said to Rabbi Eleza, I can think of somebody much greater than Rabbi Gamliel. And he was a waiter. Avraham Avinu was a waiter. Who I made Aleihem when the 3 hours came along. And the Gemara says, and don't think that they were Melochim. Avraham, says the Gemara, thought they were Arabs. And then he was a waiter for those people. So if Avraham Avinu can be a waiter, then surely Rabbi Gamliel can be a waiter. What's so bad about it? I don't think there's anything wrong in it. Rabbi Tzadok was sitting at the side. He piped up and he said as follows. I can think of an even better Raya than Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashiv HaRuach Hu Meirid HaGeshem Hu Naisein Lechem L'chol Bozer. He's a waiter, so what's so wrong? And the Yerucham comes out from that Gemara with a phenomenal principle, and that is Godoil HaMashamesh. It's a privilege to serve others. It's not like we've brought up in Western civilization where you have a chauffeur, you have a butler, you have a cook, you have a gardener, and basically the most successful person almost does nothing. It's not like that. I'm not saying a person shouldn't have help in the house. Of course, the lady has help in the house. But there's something called doing something yourself. And that's a tremendous privilege to do for others. We find that by Avraham Avinu. He did everything. He prepared everything. And therefore, as Yerucham comes out with a cloud, Noach survival in the Mabul was being a zookeeper. It wasn't a punishment. It was his only method of survival in quarantine. He had to look after others in quarantine, and the social distancing was a lesson to him in how to treat and respect others. That was behind it all, because it was a schus for him to help others. Rabbi Yerucham brings other rayas, for example, Koyanim in the Beis HaMikdash, Ushluchei Darabonan. They were great. They were representatives, ambassadors of all of Klal Yisrael. They were great representatives. And meaning, it's a schus to help others. The greater you are, the more privileged it is to serve others, like Avraham Avinu did. Avraham was a waiter. And therefore, the lifeline of Noach in the Teva was being a zookeeper. That was how he survived. He was a zookeeper, and that was his method of survival. And I was thinking, maybe that's exactly the point which we have to take out of. What does bidud mean? What does it mean in quarantine? You sit there and twiddle your thumbs and get bored with impatience? No. The lesson, the blueprint, perhaps for COVID, is if you're in bidud, is to think of others. That's what's behind it all. The whole concern should be, what's happening with somebody else? Maybe I can daven for Klal Yisrael. Maybe I should think more of others. And I was thinking a little bit further. What does it really mean, putting on a mask and keeping social distancing? Keep your distance from somebody. Do you know who they are? They're Tzelem Elohim. There's a human being there. Take more respect. Stand the back of it. And don't go so close. Be aware, or beware, of who you're talking to here. You're talking to a Tzelem Elohim, a person. And maybe that's the message behind bidud. If we tend to take a blueprint from Parshas Noach, maybe when one's in bidud, if one's in quarantine, Noach was not allowed to sit down in the deck chair. He had to work, and that was his survival. His survival was because he cared so much for others. And that was how he survived. It wasn't a punishment. It was a source to be able to help others. And maybe that's what we should think about. And I'm suggesting when we go into quarantine, if we have to go into quarantine, we have to do social distancing and masks. Masks mean keep back. Be careful. Who are you dealing with here? This is a human being. This is a person one must think about. Maybe I can help them more. Maybe I can be of service to somebody. That's behind what COVID is teaching us. Perhaps that's a Maisav and Simon Abonim, which I'd like to suggest, Lanias Daiti, which comes out of the parasha. Social distancing should teach us, don't go so close. Just keep your distance a bit and realize who it is I'm talking to, who it is I'm dealing with. And maybe cover up over your mouth as well. Be careful what you say. Be careful. And that's the lesson, I think, which comes out of the Noach. Noach was taught a lesson in Kavod Abrius, literally Kavod Abrius, by the animals. And maybe we should do the same as a lesson, perhaps, as a Maisa Ovis Simon Labonit from Parshas Noach. That's number two. The third point is not my point. It's something which I saw in the writings of the Gaon HaTzadik Rav Avigdor Miller. He once explained a most beautiful point in Parshas Bereishis, which I think is so relevant to Parshas Noach, and also as a blueprint for Parshas Noach and COVID and what we're going through. Rav Avigdor, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, brought down from in Parshas Bereishis the family of Cain. Beautiful thought. The family of Cain were really the most affluent and the most influential people around in the times. Cain had a phenomenal family which came out. Cain knew, married his wife, and he had Chanoich, and then Chanoich had children. Then in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutes, listen to these words. And eventually had a child called Lemech. Now Lemech had two wives. One was called Oda and one was called Tzila. And there were four children which came out of Lemech, which we learn of. Listen to these children. Incredible children. Batelet Oda es Yovel. Ada gave birth to somebody called Yovel. Who was Yovel? Hu haya Avi Yoshev Ohel Umikne. Rashi explains, Avi Yoshev, he was the instigator and inventor of the tents, of a cattle breeder, going from place to place. Yoshev Ohel Umikne, he invented the tent, and he invented the idea that now we could have something called nomadic civilization. People can wander around, and they're not stuck in caves. Yovel was an incredible inventor. People became very prosperous because they could now take their cattle to other places. He was the Avi Yoshev Ohel Umikne. What an incredible. He would be given the world prize for business economy, economics, no? What he invented here, people could travel. People could take their cattle and go to different places. And they became very successful and very rich. And he was the Avi Yoshev Umikne. Rashi brings it down there. Here, Dalet Pasuk Kof. What Yovel did was an incredible adventure and a very enterprising. He became world famous because everybody spoke about Yovel, the tent of being able to move around rather than just living in a tent. And we have something called nomadic civilization. People move their cattle on from place to place. The second son, which was born to Lemech, was from Tzila, was from also from Yovel, from Oda. And the name of the child was Yuval, not Yovel, but Yuval. And the pasuk says, who was Yuval? Who Avi called Toipes Kina Ugo. He was the inventor of all musical instruments. Kina is a string instrument, and Ugov is like a flute, a wind instrument. He invented music. Can you imagine how famous he became? All the papers must be talking about. What a beautiful invention. Music. Music came about all because of Yuval, who was the grandson of Cain. And tremendous nachas he must have had. What a tremendous invention. He invented, he was Avi called Toipes Kina. And the Mephoshim explained, he invented music. What a tremendous invention. How famous that child must have been. Then the third child who was born to Lemech, Sila, the other wife, also gave birth. And she gave birth to another child who was phenomenally successful, Tuval Kain. Tuval Kain was Loitesh Kol Choresh Nechoshes Uvalzer. He invented the use of minerals. Can you imagine how famous that is? He invented the use of bronze and metal and iron. And that was the beginning of metal in the world. Metallurgists bringing metal into the consumer market, and people could use it and plow with metal. Oh, I don't know. Hello, I'm back again. I hope I'm back again. I don't know.
Yeah, you are.
Yes. Back. Hey, I'm carrying on. Let me just carry on.
Okay, so, we lost you at the beginning, just starting to talk about Tuval Kain.
Oh, you lost me there.
You froze at that point.
Okay, let's go back
just
then.
As you were just starting to talk about. You introduced him and that was it.
You didn't get Tuval Kain, you got Tuval Kain?
No, we just the introduction to him, not the whole discussion of him.
Oh, so Tuval Kain was a great inventor of metal. He invented metal. The Pasuk says, let's go back, Perek Dalet. I'm sorry, I lost you. I didn't know. So the Pasuk says, by Tuval Kain, Loitesh Kol Choresh Nechoshes Uvalzel. He was the one who invented metal, and all the bronze and metal and iron, all the whole metal world came out. The world of industry and digging things and protecting everything in architecture was all because of Tuval Kain. He was Loitesh Kol Choresh Nechoshes. What an incredible family they were. Each one invented something which the world literally survived because of that. Incredible powers they had. Meaning, one invented the tent and a nomadic civilization and traveling. One invented music. And Tuval Kain invented industry of metalwork. They must have been an incredible family with great, great success in the world and great affluence. And what nachas he must have had on. Each one must have received a Nobel Prize. No, each one was incredible. They were the great inventors of the world. Avi Yoshev, Avi Kotokis Kayin, and metal all came from Tuval Kain. And there was a sister as well called Naama. Naama, says Rabbi Bigda, was probably someone who was very sweet, very nice, very pleasant girl. She actually married Noach. But this was the family of Lemech. What great nachas they had. But Rabbi Isai, look a bit further. What happened to this famous family? Perhaps they might like a Kennedy family, you know. What happened to them? Nebuch, there was a curse, and they all died. No one survived. They were all wiped out completely in the flood. Not one. They were great inventors and great economists, and they brought such tremendous success to the world. but none of them were left. In the end of time, the only one person survived, and that was Noach. And who was he? He was in his tzaddik tomim. He sat in the Torah. He was a good person. He was an Oved Hashem. That was the only reason for the survival of the world. The fact that you see a squirrel running around, the fact that the sun shines, the fact that people exist in the world, the fact that anything is here, is all because of this tzaddik tomim. He was a motzachem b'enei Hashem. He was a good person. And that was the survival of the world. What an incredible lesson that is of understanding the value of Torah and Avodas HaKodesh. You're right. These people might have been very successful in business and finance, and they created everything. But the blueprint which is coming out of Parshas Noach is, don't think that that's the whole course of success in the Kiyum HaOlam. So it's the pasuk, Im lo b'risi yomon b'alayla, chuka shamayim b'oritz lo samti. The whole purpose is someone like a Noach. Isn't that what we say, Yom HaShishi? That the famous Chaim Volozhin says, that Yom HaShishi, the hey there, is hey Sivan. For the whole of creation that was dependent on Kabbalah HaTorah. And that's the Kiyum HaOlam. Don't think the Kiyum HaOlam is dependent on Nobel Prize winners or great economists or great businessmen or great industrialists. It's not. The world was only survived only because of one man who was a Tzaddik Tomim. It's an incredible lesson here, which we're taking out of a blueprint for COVID, I imagine. Don't be so surprised about all the things which are happening in economics. The most important thing is the Avodas HaKodesh, the mitzvahs which are done in your home, that your family learns Torah, that there is Kedusha in your home, and they're Oved Hashem. That evidently is the most important thing. A Tzaddik Tomim was the survival of the world. Nothing else was survived. What a lesson that is in times of COVID from Parshas Noach here. Noach was an tzaddik. He wasn't very famous. He was a yeshiva man. No, he was a yeshiva man. There's a beautiful Gemara. Then Gemara in Sanhedrin turns around and says, what's the definition of an apikoros? An apikoros is a person who says, Maya hanilon rabbonon. What do we get out of rabbonon? They sit on the benches, they're parasites, they don't get anywhere. Rabbi said, but for himself he learned, for himself he read, oh, that these are the people of Kiyum HaOlam. The world did not carry on because of Tuval Kayin or because of Yuval or Yovel. No, the world carried on because of a tzaddik tomim. What a beautiful lesson that is as a blueprint for Parshas Bereishis, Maisa of a Siman Abonim. We have to bear that in mind, that of all that goes on in the world and the great tragedies, Lo Aleinu, Parshas on that are happening, the greatest Siman Abonim is that the world continued because of someone that was a Noach in the world. Noach Motzachein Ve'enei Hashem. He was a good man, he was a tzaddik, and he had Torah in his house. Because of that, the world survived. These, I'd like to suggest, Daniel's Daiti, are 3 points, maybe of a blueprint for COVID. The first is the enormous care which must be taken with materialism, because we never had it so good. Never, ever has the world had such incredible affluence in materialism. But we have to know how to challenge it, that it shouldn't become like we see what's going on around the world. We give arayas and shmichus dami and avodah zarah. We have to be so careful to train it and take out the kedusha from it. And that was the whole problem with Yovan. There was beauty on the outside, but there wasn't beauty inside. And that lesson of Hanukkah is Hashem which will come. Abba Aleinu L'Toivu. Second point is the point of what does it mean when you're sitting in quarantine? Bidud by Noach was only one thing. He wasn't lazy. He was fully occupied, and that was his survival. Rabbi Yochanan says he survived because he was a godel, because the godel hamashamish, the ability to look after others, and maybe that's the lesson behind the mask and social distancing, the kovod avrias which must come out at the end when we end this whole parasha here. It's interesting though, when Noach peeped his head out of the door of the cave and came out, he had a mission, and the mission was to reestablish civilization on a different footing. All what was past was literally washed away. And now he had to start again with the world. The world had to start again with a new civilization and a new world based on different principles. Because they collapsed all the materialism and they didn't know how to have the color of ideas and everything which was needed. That's a lesson from the greatness of Ruchnius in the world, the importance of Noach Ish Tzaddik Tomim HaEbed Oyosov. I'd like to suggest those are the simonim which we take out, perhaps my father's simon avonim, the Parshas Noach. Next week in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll take a look and see what we can learn from Parshas Avon Avinu in Lech Lecha. I wish you all a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, wonderful.
Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos.